Welcome to the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson, the podcast dedicated to changing the world one dad at a time. I'm Scott Moore, your host. Thanks for joining us today. How's it going, Todd?
Doing good. You know, when we're recording this, Scott, on Sunday night, I don't know, we've had Netflix for about a year, maybe just about a year. I don't know. Do you do Netflix at all?
Yes, we do.
But we got Netflix about a year ago, and we're able to stream them. But what we've done, and it's really been a lot of fun, is we've been watching these old Disney movies. And so I went to the internet and got a list of Disney movies. Not the ones, you know, like Dumbo and Snow White and all the ones you've seen or your kids have seen. But these kind of odd ones. Like, we watched one last week called The Callaways. It's got another word in there. And tonight we're watching Snowball Express, starring Dean Jones, which is a favorite Disney guy, you know, who was in Herbie the Love Bug and several Herbies there. He was the guy who turned into the Shaggy DA.
Oh, yeah.
And then it's also got Johnny Whitaker. You probably don't know that name, but if you've ever seen Family Affair with Uncle Beal and Buffy and Jody. Jody was the redheaded little boy in there. He's in this. But they've just been so fun because they're so, you know, this one's probably one of the newest, and it's probably like 1971 or 72. You know, they're just naive. They're simple. You know, there's no special effects. And my kids really like them. Even my older kids. I wondered if they wouldn't like them, but they think they're kind of cool too. So we've been kind of doing that. And so that's what we're doing tonight. So I had to take a little break. They're watching parts of it without me, but that's okay.
So are those any of the ones with the talking animals and, you know, Bucky the Beaver and things like that?
Oh, yeah. You mean like Gus, you know, the donkey who talks and things like that?
Right.
Those kind, you know, like The World's Greatest Athlete, Flubber, and even some really odd ones that you would like, Gray Friars Bobby, which, you know, didn't have anybody in it. But they're just kind of, they're kind of based, I think, loosely on some true stories. Not the talking donkey one, but, you know, but these, and they're just so much fun. And, I should post that list sometime because, and Netflix has just given us a great thing. In fact, you know, like I mentioned last time, I'm kind of like Mr. Christmas. So I've been like, playing Netflix is like playing pool or billiards. You know, I've been setting up my next shots. And so I went in and adjusted my cue. So we're going to get some Christmas videos that are coming in, I think, next week. So that's kind of exciting. I don't know. We talked a little bit last time about Thanksgiving. And you mentioned last time that you've actually seen, like, the Macy's Day Thanksgiving Parade. That's right, isn't that, Scott?
That is right. A wild experience seeing the floating Kermit the Frog and I don't even remember all of them, Elmo and all those that were floating down the street. That was back in the early 90s when I saw it.
Oh, yeah. That's always been like a thing that I'd love to do. And I was just checking online, and this year's the 86th running, I guess, of the Macy's Day Thanksgiving Day Parade. And growing up as a kid, that was always, that heralded Christmas because, you know, we'd get up in the morning and my parents were like, which parade do you want to watch? You know, because they have all those other Thanksgiving parades. But I was a purist. I didn't want to watch a parade in Hawaii. I wanted to see one in New York City where they're all bundled up, you know, and you had Willard Scott or whoever, Bob Barker maybe at the time, you know, the host. And all through the whole parade, which is 2 or 3 hours, you know, they threw that little teaser out, and don't wait, in just a little bit, we'll be seeing Santa Claus, you know, and that was all through the whole thing. And I mean, as a kid, that was such a huge deal. And that's kind of like the beginning of Miracle on 34th Street, the television show. So I always thought, man, that would be so awesome to go see the balloons and see it all, you know, see them being blown up. And so we've watched it over the years, but, you know, it's kind of changed. It's not as good as it used to be. It's not as simple as it used to be. You know, you get some of the acts aren't, you know, things that we'd want all our kids to watch. And, you know, I don't know. It's just not as easy as it used to be. So, but that was always the start of our Thanksgiving. And this year, we're kind of driving down to my in-laws down in Indianapolis, my brother and sister-in-law, and we're going to go do that and have a lot of fun. And like I said, we always try to pick something to do. In fact, I was thinking, I think this is the first movie review I've ever done. This past week, we went to see Wreck-It Ralph. Have you seen that yet?
I have not.
Well, you know, it's like Disney's latest movie, and my family went to see it, and it was pretty good. It was pretty good. You know, it wasn't quite as sweet and innocent as maybe like a Tangled was, or some of the other movies like Despicable Me. But it was good. It was it was clean and easy to follow, and I thought it was, you know, of course, it's interesting to see the different video games played out. But there's some different tense scenes for some of your littler viewers. But it was a lot of fun. We've got some great movie theaters that are pretty cheap, and we went to one of those, you know, in a small little town. We don't have one in our town, but the town over has a movie theater, you know, where it has one screen, and there are about eight seats. No, not even that mean. Six seats on each side of the row, the center aisle, and that's it. It's really long and narrow, smells old and musty. To go to the restrooms, you go downstairs in this pit of a bathroom. But there's something magical about going to the movies for that.
Sounds delightful.
I went to movies as a kid, and they were magical because, you know, to maybe see it on the big screen before VCRs. And so it's a lot of fun. In fact, I've never done this before. My older kids, they've all read the books, The Hobbits and The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings, you know, dozens of times. And I'm thinking, it comes like out in the middle of December, I'm thinking about doing one of those, you know, where the ego line up and for that first showing. I've never done that in my whole life, and I thought, you know, my older kids would think that was awesome to go camp out with their dad. So we're going to try that. I don't know. Have you ever done that before?
Yeah, my wife and I ended up, we just happened to not have anything else we had to be doing. We weren't like, I mean, we like Star Wars, but we weren't super Star Wars geeks. But at one of the newer ones, one of the episode 1, 2, or 3, I forget which one, at one of those, we ended up at the premiere one night, and there were like stormtroopers and, you know, guys dressed up like Obi-Wan Kenobi. I mean, like 40-year-old men dressed up like this. So
that was a little scary.
It was very awesome.
So it would have been really cool if your wife had gone, could go like Chewbacca or something.
There was a Chewbacca there. I remember that. It was not my wife, though.
There always is. There's always a Chewbacca. Well, I don't know if you know, but as of today, there are only 37 days left for Christmas. And if you're listening to this on the day it comes out, you only have 35 days until Christmas. And my kids, Maggie, she asked me last week, she goes, "Dad, can we start decorating for Christmas?" And I'm like, "Not yet." And she's like crying. And they are pumped and ready to go, like horses, you know, chomping to get out of the gate. But, you know, and this is a good time to maybe even talk about it, because this is the make it or break it time for husbands. Because, you know, I don't know what you normally do for your wife. And some years I, you know, go all out, and some years I blow it. But, you know, I've just noticed that the whole world is kind of reminding your wife that this is the time where husbands get their wives gifts. And I hear so many husbands and wives say, "Oh, we don't do anything for each other. You know, we never have." And I hear them say that just with a little bit of sadness. In fact, there was a lady in our church, and this was several years ago. She was talking, it was a Sunday after Christmas, and she had a ring on. And her husband, you know, didn't make a lot of money, and it wasn't like a super fancy ring, it was just a ring. And she was showing it to all the ladies, and I wasn't even listening, or she wasn't talking to me, I was just kind of eavesdropping. And she said, "You know, it just feels so good to be one of those wives who gets to say, 'My husband bought me a ring for Christmas, and now I can show it off.'" And I thought, you know, isn't that amazing? Here's a lady she would have said, "We never get each other gifts." And yet this little tiny gift, this token of affection meant so much to her. And I thought, you know, it really does mean a lot. But so often I think we guys, you know, wait to the last whatever. My father is a prime example. He's gotten a lot better. But when I was a kid, he would, you know, Christmas Eve, he would say, well, I got to go for a little bit. And we're like, where are you going? And he was like going to do his Christmas shopping, which the only thing open was, you know, Hook's Drugs or the CVS. You know, there was nothing open. Mm-hmm. And he would go do his Christmas shopping there. And it was pretty pathetic, usually Christmas morning. Like I said, he's gotten a lot better. But, you know, I try to make a big deal. And so I just want to challenge all the guys listening. You know, you can turn off the rest of the program. You can wait till the show's over. But I just challenge you to spend maybe just a couple minutes, you know, thinking about a gift for your wife. You know, if you have call up her best friend and say, hey, what would my wife really like? Or my daughter, who's, you know, 15 years old, she's been like my spy. She's telling me, this is going to be a great year because I don't even have to think because she's got all this list. But it does involve me making time to go take care of those things. You know, I've heard some awful heroic things that dads have done for their wives just to show their wives how much they love them. I think one of my favorite YouTube videos, and I've never put it on the air because it's just maybe a hair risque, not risque, but on the edge. But it shows these guys, and have you seen this video, Scott? It's these guys are in the emergency room. Have you seen this one? Right after Christmas. No. And it's like, I can't remember what the title of it is, but it's something like Worst Christmas Gift. And you see these guys, you hear this, you know, da 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 da, wah 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 wah, real sad kind of. And you see these guys, and the first guy, you know, he's got like, I can't remember. Oh, it was, you know, like, he's got a mixer, you know, like a beater, you know, the hand mixer. And the little spinning things are sticking out of his ears, spinning around. And he looks over to the next guy, and the next guy has these big stiletto heels, you know, and it's just kind of embedded in his head, you know. And the next guy is like wiping he's got blood kind of coming, trickling down his nose, and he's using this, like, you know, Santa Claus thong that he bought for his wife. He's been dabbling it around his, nose. And then the next guy comes in, and this is the reason I have never shown it, because he's got a vacuum cleaner hose kind of pushed in a body part, you know, because he had gotten this for his wife. And I thought, you know, there's a lot of truth in there. There's a lot of truth that sometimes the things we think are just really great ideas are not so good ideas. So,
you know, one of my great memories from my childhood was with my parents getting gifts, because they didn't always communicate, and they'd sort of come up with a family gift on their own. And my dad showed up Christmas Eve with a family gift one night, you know, on Christmas Eve. And my mom had bought the family a TV for that Christmas. And the rest of us kind of knew about it already. And my dad walks in the door and goes, hey, everybody, Santa's here. I've got a Christmas present for the whole family. And my mom goes, is it square? And pulled her slipper off and threw it down the stairs at him because he was holding a new TV.
Yeah.
It was great.
That's the way it always goes.
That's right.
And so, you know, so dad, be thinking about what you might do for your wife. And I don't know, I've even started thinking about some of my kids. I've got a couple things that I need to take care of. I know my son Cal, part of growing up or coming into manhood and womanhood in the Wilson house, is that dad makes you a little treasure box. You know, because I think every kid should have a box where he keeps all his treasures in. You know, things, important things like, you know, ice cream popsicle sticks that you got, you know, when you and your family went somewhere. My kids save all that stuff, and that's because I do. And, you know, I thought, for my first son, I made, you know, a little wooden box that kind of looked like a pirate's chest, and put his name on the outside, put a little lock that he could put on with a little key. And guess what? My next son wanted one. And now I'm on my, I don't know, fifth or sixth. I think I've got two more. So I've got on my sixth box, and Cal, he's 6 years old this year. He said he would really like a treasure box, and I'm going to make his look like a pirate box. You know, and I've tried that. I've made gifts for all my kids, and some of those things. In my head, I envision like these are going to be these, you know, heirloom gifts. I remember one year, my wife Debbie saw this picture in a magazine, and it was a box about the size of a big shoe box, and it had three doors on each side, one on each end, and a handle on the top. And each little door had a different kind of opening mechanism, kind of, if you go to the hardware store. And I'm like, but it was like $60. And I'm like, there is no way I'm going to spend $60 on that little box. I said, I could make something like that. Famous last words, right? And so I spent, I don't know how many weeks making this box, and it turned out pretty good. And I got all the little hardware. It cost me about $80 to build it. And my son, Sam, when he was a little kid, he played with it for about 3 minutes, and then that was it. I mean, he's never touched it since. I'll probably give it to his children as an heirloom. None of my kids have ever played with it. But, hey, I guess one day they'll look back on it and think, oh, yeah, my dad made that for me. Makes me think of another Christmas question. We'll be talking about Christmas probably for the next couple of weeks because I like it so much. And there are so many things to be talked about. But I don't know, Scott, I haven't given you a little heads up here, but I don't know how you handle the Santa Claus issue, but someone asked me just a couple of weeks ago in a hushed, whispered tone, so what do you do about Santa Claus? Go ahead.
We tried to kind of make Santa Claus more like the legend of St. Nicholas, but my wife and I really wanted the credit for, you know, doing doing all the gift giving and buying and all that stuff. And we really wanted to focus Christmas on Jesus, and because that's what it's really about. But the Santa thing kind of crept in anyway. and so now basically the kids, I think at least the younger two still sort of believe in Santa, and but each of them get like one gift from Santa, and then the rest of them are from us. So, you know, I try not to worry about it too much. I've heard horror stories from people who are so broken up when they found out, you know, that Santa wasn't really coming to their house every Christmas Eve. So, you know, that was another thing we wanted to avoid, was that trauma. Right. It never bothered me because I was like, hey, I get gifts. Who cares?
I don't care who pays for them.
Exactly.
That's right. Yeah, well, you know, and that's cool because we'll probably get like a whole bunch of letters. And, you know, because when we were first starting, you know, when we first had kids, we were like, you know, we were like Nazi parents. We were just like, we decided we were going to take all the fun out of them. We were only going to, you know, wean them on the milk of the gospel. And, you know, so we were kind of like, we're not going to do the Santa Claus thing. And my brother would tease me. He'd call it Satan Claus. And so we were like, what are you going to do? Just lie to your kids? Why are you going to lie? You know, they won't believe the gospel or that kind of stuff. And we were like nuts for our first kids. I mean, I think my son was probably a teenager, and he's like, who's the guy in the red suit? You know, but we've kind of way backed off on that. And, you know, again, people ask, and I'm like, I think your kids are going to be fine. I don't think, you know, I don't think it's lying to your children. I don't think it's, I think we just need to be gracious with one another, knowing that we parents or dads are just trying to do the best we can do. And I've noticed that, you know, we don't do the Santa Claus thing. Or, you know, we still, you know, we'll watch some movies that have Santa. I mean, Christmas is not Christmas if you don't watch Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. You know, and those little Rankin and Bass, you know, they kind of move like whatever their clay things.
Heat miser and cold miser and all that.
Exactly. I mean, Christmas is not Christmas if you don't do that kind of stuff. But I've noticed that, you know, they don't struggle over who he is, and they don't struggle over if you take him out. It's not like it makes Christmas less. It's still a lot of fun. There's just a lot of enchantment in God becoming man. I mean, I think it just passes through the whole universe and gives us goosebumps when we think about it at night. So I was just thinking about that. And by the way, that is a good movie, that Heat Miser, Cold Miser thing.
Oh, yeah.
Santa Claus is coming to town.
The year without a Santa Claus.
Exactly, exactly. And we'll talk about that because I've got a whole list of my favorites. In fact, you can go online on our website and you can check out the my list of all the, there's a lot, and a lot of people added to it, of great Christmas videos for your family. But we'll talk about more of that a little bit later, later in maybe the weeks to come. Hey, but I was going to talk, Scott, maybe just a little bit, because I don't know about Thanksgiving. And this is not a sermon or anything, because I certainly don't have anything to sermonize about. But I just want to challenge, I guess, the dads listening to make sure you have a thankful heart. You know, because a lot has transpired in the past year, good or bad. And I know it's easy to thank God for the good stuff, but I think we still forget to do so. You know, we went, I had to run out tonight to our Dollar General. We live in a small little town in northern Indiana. We don't have any store. We have a few stores, I should say. Nothing big. I don't have a Walmart. I don't have a grocery store. But I have a little Dollar General that's a couple blocks away. And we have several saloons or bars. But we don't have any big stores. So I went to Dollar General. And, you know, it's dark. It was about 6:30, and I picked up just a few little odds and ends. And as I was pulling in my driveway, it was all lit up inside, and I could see my family inside walking around. And I just was like, God, you're just so good to us. You know, I felt overwhelmed by God's goodness in allowing us to be a family, because I know it's going to run out, you know, in not too long a time. I'll be pulling in as an old man, and most of the lights will be off. My electric bill will be a lot smaller. My heating bill will be a lot smaller because no one's going to be leaving the doors open, but it's going to be dark inside. And it's just going to be my wife and I, you know, sitting in the kitchen or the family room. And, you know, it makes me kind of sad even thinking about it now. So I just want you to spend some time, I guess, you know, thanking God for all that he has given you, because he has given you so much, Dad, to be a dad. It's a great thing to be a dad. Along with that, I want to challenge you, or maybe challenge myself, to give thanks for some of the hard times. Because, you know, I think that's the thing about Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, when at church today, the one of the guys was talking about Thanksgiving, and he was saying, you know, we have everything to be thankful for. And because he said, I thought this was an interesting thing. He said, you know, because God's given us everything except one thing. And he said, that's our sin nature. And I thought, that's true. I'm not sure God's given us Chuck E. Cheese either, but that's a different talk or something.
My kid got kicked in the chest at Chuck E. Cheese. So I
did he? It's an evil place. Evil. But, you know, but one of the things I was thinking is, really, even the whole idea of Thanksgiving is acknowledging that it came from God. Everything. You know, and so when it says give thanks in all things, that means I must somehow acknowledge that those all things came from the person who allowed them to be in my life. And I've shared lots of times that, you know, over the last couple of years, my wife and I have had some hard times, just some weird times. And I can remember laying in bed right around Thanksgiving a couple years ago and, you know, kind of running down through all those things that I needed to be thankful for. And I just had this, you know, this pit in me that said, Todd, you got to thank him for it being hard. And that was really hard for me to do. I mean, normally that's not too hard, but it was just so hard. I was tired of the whole thing. And I'm like, God, thank you for giving me a hard wife. Thank you for making it hard right now. Thank you for, you know, not giving me the things that I want. Because apparently it had to do for me too. You know, it was for me to make me who God wanted me to be. So, Dad, you may be going through a really hard time. You might be in the midst of a job crisis. You might not have enough to pay all your bills. You may have a wife who you feel a million miles from. You might have a child who's spitting in your face every single day. You might have something else that's going on. I would thank him. Give thanks in all things. You know, otherwise this Thanksgiving time isn't Thanksgiving, it's Thanksgiving. So I don't know. That's what I was thinking about. Scott, I don't know what you've been thinking for the rest of our time, or but I know last time I said I'd let you listen to a little bit of one of our Christmas stories. one of the audios recorded by Jim Hodges.
That's fired
And so
up.
How about we do that for the last, about 5 minutes? I'll let you listen to a little bit of Cootie McKay's nativity. And again, it's a great story. Cootie, as I mentioned last time, Cootie was a guy in my dad's little town that he lived in. Cootie, my dad used to tell stories about Cootie. I can remember the one he said, Cootie always, his wallet, he always, when you bought a wallet back then, sometimes it'd have a picture of a movie star, you know, in the little picture slot, and Cootie always said that was his girlfriend. It was some movie star. And he said, Cootie, one time, my dad asked him, he said, hey, Cootie, he had a watch on. He asked Cootie, he said, what time is it? And Cootie said, how should I know? He goes, my watch quit working. And my dad said, well, what time did it stop working? And Cootie said, well, how should I know? I was asleep. I'm going to let you listen to Cootie McKay's Nativity. And then, Scott, I'll let you draw it to a close. And I want to tell you, Dad, before you listen, before I leave, have a great Thanksgiving. As the horse goes out of the gate, I should tell you, Saturday we're going to cut down our Christmas tree because that's Wilson tradition. First Saturday after Thanksgiving, to go cut down our Christmas tree. So you can know that we'll be doing that Saturday whenever you're doing whatever you're doing. So have a great day. Don't forget, you to Dad.
Cootie McKay's Nativity, Book 1 of The Family Man's Christmas Treasury, written by Todd Wilson. 1956 was the year of the best Christmas our town ever had. It was also the year we almost didn't have Christmas, but Cootie saved the day. Yes, sir, if it weren't for the talent and vision of Cootie McKay, the folks in our little town would have been mighty disappointed. You see, the problem started a few weeks after the Christmas of 55. We were having lunch one Saturday when my dad got a call from Chet Davis, the town sheriff. My dad wasn't the mayor or anything. He had just lived in the town for so long that people always called him when something big happened. And this was real big. Come on, son, my dad said to me. We've got a problem down at the hall. I wasn't about to miss this one. It could be anything. A boiler explosion, a hostage situation, or a cattle stampede. We only lived about 3 blocks from the town hall, but we drove our car anyway. In fact, we were hardly out of the driveway when I noticed the flashing red lights and the crowd that had gathered to see the catastrophe. The crowd parted from my dad's car, and we were shocked by what we saw. Shoo, was all my dad could say. I couldn't believe my eyes. Right on the town hall lawn was Mrs. Nichols' 41 Buick. She had smacked into the town nativity just like a bowling ball into the 10-pin. Scattered across the lawn and wedged under her car were bits and pieces of the town's nativity scene. It had been a town heirloom for forever. Until now. The town nativity was always set in place the weekend after Thanksgiving, and wasn't taken down until after the New Year, and sometimes even later if Harley Sheets hadn't cleared out his barn where it was stored. Mrs. Nichols was just stepping out of her car when we pulled up. She was as old as dirt itself. Dad told me she was something like 123 when he was a kid. Everyone knew she shouldn't be driving anymore, and if you saw her big blue Buick coming down the road, you got behind the nearest tree if you had any sense at all. Oh, this is bad, Sheriff Davis said as he walked up to my dad. Real bad. Now, calm down, Chet. Is Mrs. Nichols all right? All right? She doesn't even know that she's ruined Christmas for the whole town. The sheriff slapped himself in the forehead. We walked over to Mrs. Nichols.
What seems to be the problem, officer? She asked, bothered by the commotion.
I hadn't been that close to Mrs. Nichols before, and I was shocked by how many wrinkles she had. She really was older than dirt. Mrs. Nichols, are you okay? My dad asked.
Why, I'm fine. I was just on the way to the post office to mail this Christmas package to my son in Arizona. Yes, ma'am, but were you hurt in the accident? Accident? She asked in a panic. Was there an accident?
Chet interrupted, overcome by emotion.
You ran over the nativity, ma'am. Look, a camel is wedged under your car.
Well, why did they set it up in the parking lot this year?
She asked, irritated by his accusation.
It seems like you're just asking for trouble if you set it up in a parking lot.
This is not a parking lot, ma'am, Chet fired back.
Well, then why are all these cars parked here?
Dad interrupted before Mrs. Nichols and Sheriff Davis could get in a fist fight. Dad was afraid Sheriff Davis would lose. Why don't we have someone drive Mrs. Nichols home? And then...
But I have to mail this package to my son in Arizona. If I don't, it won't be there in time for Christmas.
Dad didn't have the heart to tell her that she had already missed Christmas by 3 weeks. Instead, they took her to the post office to mail her package, and then to her home, while they untangled the three wise men from her bumper. Later that night, an impromptu town meeting was held at our house. I was supposed to be in bed, but I could hear real well through the heating vent in my room. So, what's the damage, Ed? My dad asked Ed Jacobson, the town maintenance guy. Well, about the only pieces that aren't broken are two sheep and a cow. The three wise men are now the 26 pieces of wise men, and Mary, Joseph, and Jesus were pounded flatter than a pancake. We might fix the angel of the Lord, but it won't be easy. As far as the shepherds, camels, and the other animals go, we had to sweep them up with a dustpan. Chet Davis moaned in agony. Well, what are we going to do? Dean Baker asked. He was the town treasurer. We don't have any money in the budget to spend on a new nativity. I heard Millersburg bought a new set 2 years ago, and it cost over $1,000.
Well, we've got to do something, Betty Acton added. All the other towns have a nativity scene, and we're not going to be the only town in Indiana not to have a nativity.
The others agreed, but were at a loss as to what to do. They talked well over an hour without any solution. In frustration, Chet Davis said,
There's no way. It can't be done.
How about Cootie McKay? My dad mentioned out of the blue. 10 seconds of nerve-jiggling silence passed. I even thought I heard Dean Baker's false teeth slide out of his mouth and onto the table.
Cootie? Chet gasped. Why would we ask Cootie?
Cootie McKay was just about the oddest person you'd ever meet. He rode an orange bicycle with a purple basket mounted up front. He rode down Main Street at least 25 times a day, with his shirt buttoned up to the top button, a heavy wool jacket on, even in the middle of the summer, wearing two mismatched shoes. He hardly ever talked to anyone, but I always wondered if that was because no one ever talked to him. Sometimes at night, he'd sit in a tree in his yard, hooting like an owl. I knew that because his house was across the alley right behind ours.
And there it is, Cootie McKay's Nativity. At least that's the first part, folks. Go to familymanweb.com and check out Cootie McKay and Gladys Remembers Christmas, Captain Chaos and the Manger Blaster. That one sounds fun. I haven't heard that one yet or read it, so I got to get it. All the other stories, the newest one this year is Gladys Remembers Christmas. Check that one out. And you can get the whole set of 6 Christmas books and audiobooks combination for $65 on the website. A great gift for Christmases this year and to come. And there's the game to Bethlehem, the Christmas game for the entire family. And don't forget the family Advent crafts. This is just Todd has pretty much put Christmas in a box for you here. You can get it all straight from the Family Man Ministries store on familymanweb.com. Thanks for joining us. And hey, one more teaser. You know, the story was excellent, and it's such a blast to get to play some of that for you here on the Toddcast. Next week, I will be sharing a story from Christmas that was a pivotal moment in my family's life from just last Christmas. So don't forget to tune in because you'll want to hear it. Thanks and have a great week.